It's good to see you, Jersey Village. Good to see you. Good to see you. It's just a wonderful time as we celebrate as a church body what God has done and is doing in each and every one of our lives. I want to invite your attention to the passage of Scripture our message for the morning is coming from, and that is the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. Sixth chapter of Deuteronomy, and we'll at least begin our reading with the fourth through the sixth verse of the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. If you've been with us during this series, you know that we have our emphasis is thriving in our relationships by God's blessings. And particularly on this Sunday morning, we want to zero in on our parenting relationships as a privilege from God to impact the younger generation that God has allowed us to serve. And so our reading again is coming from that sixth chapter. I trust that you've made it there. Turn in your Bibles, turn on your Bibles. Just make sure you find it there, and you'll see words similar to these. Beginning at the fourth verse, God's word declares, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And these words that I command you today shall be on your hearts." Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the assurance of your presence, for it's your very power that has allowed us to gather in this sacred place on your day to magnify and glorify your name. Now open our hearts to the treasures of your word, that our lives might be changed, that we might know more of you, grow closer to you, and be used in greater ways for your glory. This is our prayer. Help us as parents to be the best parents you'd have us to be, as children to honor our parents, and in all things to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. 15 years old, and with trembling hands, I was 15, had an assignment by the church at a service just like this one at 15 to play a song on my saxophone. It was a moment of trepidation as I was practicing with our musicians, and they were encouraging me to blow my horn. And so I had my sax because I was a Kenny G fan. Wanted to do it just like Kenny did, you know. And so I had my sax there, armature already set. I was ready to play, Dr. George. But we were in practice just before this service where all eyes would be on me, kind of like you're looking at me now. But I was 15. My peers were out there, and I was a little bit in trepidation as I considered what I was called to do, even wondering if I wanted to do it. But back in those days, you know, you didn't have much of a choice when I was growing up. They told you what you were going to do. I know some of y'all don't even know what that means. It's okay. It's all right. And good for you. All right, it is. And so there I was. And in practice, I will never forget these words. Because as I was trying to play the song, our musician said, "You need to play it with your heart." I said, "Play it with my heart." So I blew louder. He said, No. You have to play it with your heart. Put your heart into it. His name was Mr. Edwards. I said, "Mr. Edwards, what do you mean put my heart into it?" And this is what he told me, and I haven't forgotten it since then. As I was trying to play "I Surrender All" on my alto sax, he said, "Let the music get in your heart until your heart is filled with the music." He says, "Put your heart into it." That's really what we hear God saying in the text. to those who are delivered by his hand and his power. For to those in our text who had seen how God delivered them from their enemies, seen how God made ways out of no way as he parted the Red Sea, seen how God made protected them and provided for them in the wilderness, God gets them to a place and gives Moses the message to tell the children of Israel that when you serve me, when you worship me, when you follow me, put your heart into it. But this word is not just for the children of Israel. Go ahead, let me talk to you just for a moment for those who've been blessed by God, gripped by his grace. Has anybody in here been blessed by God? Let me check for a moment. Has God ever made a way out of no way for anybody in here? Have you ever been there between a rock and a hard place? You didn't know what you were going to do, but the hand of God came in your situation and God moved some things out of the way. Has that happened to anybody in this place where you've seen God move? You know God moves and you don't need anyone else to remind you that God is on your side, that even when you were unfaithful to him, God was still faithful to you. Has God done anything for anybody in here? And he says in his word that if indeed you've been blessed by God, if you've been gripped by his grace, if you're going to grow in your relationships and thrive in this life, then the primary relationship you need to thrive in is your relationship with him. He says, to hear, as he tells the children of Israel, hear, O Israel, be attentive to this truth that if you don't get anything else in life, if you don't get any other point of the message, make sure you get this one, that you hear this truth, and that is God is calling us to love him. It's amazing how much we go through to show individuals that we love them. You ever notice the length we'll go through at times to grow in a relationship, the length that we'll go through to show someone, to demonstrate our commitment and compassion for them? You ever notice how far we will go to show someone we love them? I can tell you this. I hope I hadn't told you before, but if I had, just learn from it. This is for some of the fellas in the house, because I went through some lengths. I went through some lengths to show a certain woman that I love her. I did. You don't know this, but I did, Dr. George. I mean, she had to know, because I knew before she knew that God put me in her life. I did. I kid you not. Look at she smiling right there. Girl, you know I'm telling the truth, don't you? Look at you. Yes, a fine woman, yeah. All right, here it is. Wait, let me look one more time. Okay, all right. Because it was, look, I'm telling you, I was a senior in high school. I'm not advocating this, but I'm telling you, okay? I was a senior in high school. I met her as a senior in high school. I'm not advocating this. I'm just telling you how it went down for me, okay? I accompanied her to her ring dance. She was in one city. I was in another. Maybe not a city. It was more of a town where I was from. Anyway, and I accompanied her into her ring dance. I won't ever forget it, because there we were after the dance. Baptist dance sometimes. Don't look at me like that. Don't judge me, okay? I was a senior in high school. And so I remember after the dance, get this, her parents see me for the first time. We're spending time together. This is the first date. This is our first time out, our first outing. And I get to her parents' house and I look at them and I said, I would like to have your permission to marry your daughter. Yeah, they did the same thing y'all did. They did the exact same thing. Years later, Austin, it was the May flood. It was flooding, and I was determined to drive through the flood from the little town Ville Platte where I grew up in Owen. And everybody said, don't do it. Don't go through the flood. Don't drive to New Orleans. And I said, no, I got to go where she is, because she got to know that I love her. Y'all supposed to say, oh. Yeah. My kids didn't understand that story. They just kind of, you know, they've heard it time and time again, they understand it. But my dear daughter, there she is. She marveled one day when she heard this one, when I told her the extent that love would go. And that was when my wife was pregnant with our first child, Trey, who's not here so I can talk about him. She was pregnant with him, and there it was. She had a simple request. She had a request for me to go, and out of my love, I had to demonstrate this request, because she had a certain desire of being pregnant with the first child. And you know that when your wife is pregnant with the first child, you got to do what they are asking you to do if you really love them, because they'll tell you, if you really love me, And she knows it. There it was. She said, I want you. I think it was about 3 in the morning, right, baby? About 3 in the morning? Yeah, about 3 in the morning. Nudging me, 3 in the morning. I want some bananas. My daughter was trying to ask me what love looks like. I was trying to demonstrate it to her. I said, love goes the length of it. And she said, Daddy, why would you go early in the morning to get bananas for Mama? I said, no, you're not getting this, baby. I told my daughter, she didn't just want bananas. She wanted those small bananas. Went to the nearest grocery store, and there I was, got the nearest grocery store. They didn't have those bananas. So I just got some bananas. Got back home, gave her the bananas. Owen, she looked at me, and tears welled up. I was like, what's wrong? What's the problem? She said, I wanted some. You got it. So I cut it in half, and I said, here it is, man. Yeah, that didn't fly. So did I drive? Look at it. That didn't fly. So I drove all the way across town to the only other store that was open, and I got her some bananas. My daughter told me, Daddy, I wouldn't have done that. I said, because you never went the length of love that I would for your mother. Listen to what God is saying to those he's delivered and touched and gripped by grace. He says to love me. And then he says not just to love me, just kind of or sort of. He says love me with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your might. He's saying to all of us who have been recipients of his hand of blessing that there is something we ought to do in response to knowing how much God loves you. And that is to love him, not just any kind of way, but completely. Totally, with your whole being, put your heart into it. That anything you do for God, you ought to put your heart in it. If you're singing his praises, you ought to put your heart into it. If you're teaching his word, you ought to put your heart into it. If you're telling anyone about the love of God, you ought to put your heart into it. All of your heart. You mean I got to preach like you in the pulpit? No, but I am saying I ought to have some passion in what you do when you're doing it for the Lord. It ought to drive you to let others know how much you love him because you know he loves you. It speaks to a totality, to the degree that the love that you have for God will allow you to exchange your commitments for his commitments, your will for his will, to love him with all your heart, all your soul, and all your might. And having a love like this for God leads us in expressions of love for others. That when we get to a point in our relationship, our vertical relationship with God, that we're all in, then it leads us to be able to express that relationship of love when we connect with others, particularly the younger generation. For God has called us to parent the generation who is coming after us. Oh, no, I need your help on this one right here. Go in and nudge somebody. Just nudge him. Just nudge him. I don't want to go to sleep right here. Tell him, get up. He's talking to you. Tell him he's talking to you. He's talking to you. Oh, and not y'all. Y'all too young. I'm not talking to y'all. I'm talking to y'all. God has called us to parent a generation who's coming after us. Because notice the text after he says you love God totally with all that you are, then you allow that love to lead you to teach others. For the text goes on to say in verse 7, teach them diligently to your children. Parent them. That we have a holy obligation to parent the younger generation. And you know, y'all, I'm talking to the younger generation now. Y'all, you know, y'all. Y'all not always easy to parent. Yeah, I'm just telling you the truth. But you know what? But let me help y'all for a moment. Let me help y'all. All my teenagers, holler at me for a moment. Just let me see. All teenagers, let me see. I'm gonna tell you something though. Hold on. Because now don't get me wrong. Y'all not easy to parent. But when we were your age, we weren't easy to be parented either. See, I got my amen corner right there because I was having in preparation for this message and I was hearing God said that we have a holy obligation to teach the younger generation, teach them diligently to your children. I had a table conversation with my kids because in our home, as we understand and embrace the truth that God has given us the holy privilege of parenting the younger generation, we have certain rules in our home, Dr. George, that says we always do the best we can to eat dinner together. And the only time there's an exception to that rule is when one of us is out of town, then the remainder in the house, reigning in the house, we eat dinner together. And at dinner together, that's a cell-free zone, which means then that no one can carry electronics to the dinner table because that's our time as a family. All right? I want to tell you what happened. Because I was trying to get ready for this message. And I said, hey, kids, why don't y'all tell me a little bit about what it is to have me as your parent? Look at them. They know. Am I telling the truth, y'all? Let me know. And I'm thinking, you know, they're going to give me some high accolades. I know that, you know, I did it right. You know, I'm understanding. I'm nice. You know, shake your head. They're looking at y'all. Just say, yeah. I'm a good dad. I try to do all I can. And you know what they all agreed around the table? Parents don't understand. That's what he told me. Can you believe my kids, pastor's kids, would say that their dad, who preaches the word of God, don't understand? Don't hide your face now, bro. You said it. Don't hide your face now. And then I thought, wait a minute now, when I was their age, there was a song we used to rock to by Will Smith that was called Parents. I knew I had my generation right up in here, right here. But there is one thing God is calling us to understand as parents, is that the best way we can parent and thrive in parenting is to parent God's way. Don't miss this, y'all. Because parenting God's way is parenting in the way that leads those we influence to God. Right? And if we want to thrive as parents, we have to thrive by having our hearts into God's will, God's word, and God's way, so that when we lead those God has placed under our influence, then we would be leading them not just to a career or not just to experiencing the best in education or what the world has to offer. No, primarily that we are leading them to God, so that when everything else doesn't pan out, they can still know the love of God for themselves. Because the best exposure you could ever give your child, your teenager, any child within your purview of influence, the best exposure you can give them is an exposure to God. I'm still in the text, because in the seventh verse he says, teach them diligently to your children. It teaches us that parenting requires personal investment in others. It requires it. He says, you shall. Notice, he didn't delegate it out to anybody else. You read the text, right? He says, you shall teach them diligently, which means then that God has placed upon all of us who are older in an older generation to use what God has allowed us to learn along the way and pass those lessons on to those who are coming after us. This is not just exclusive to those who are biological parents. It's not just exclusive to those who are grandparents and great-grandparents and godparents. It's not just exclusive to those. No, it's exclusive. It is inclusive of all of us whom God has allowed our pathways to intersect with any younger generation, that God is calling all of us who love God, who are learning to live for God, to learn to teach others how to do the same. Yeah, I told you I grew up in a small town. Called Ville Platte, Louisiana. Where I grew up, everybody was your parent. No. You're looking at me. I know y'all don't understand this. This is okay. I'm going to come back and get you in a minute. Everybody. Every adult had the right to correct you and to challenge you. And before cell phones were invented, I still don't know how this happened. That if somebody corrected me on the other side of town, by the time I got home, my parents would correct me, one, because they had to correct me, and two, because of what I did wrong. But I wasn't that bad of a kid. I can't sit in front of my kids right now. I don't need them to know that. We are called, y'all. I really want you to see this. We are called to make an impact on the lives, to parent the younger generation. In doing so, we have to remember that it's a personal investment, that God has allowed you to go through some things, not just for your own sake, but for the sake of those who are coming after you. Has anybody ever had a bad day? Not you kids, adults. Any of y'all ever had a bad day? Okay, none of y'all on this side. Let me catch you on here. Anybody ever did anything wrong? Anybody raise your hand? One person. The rest of them, you did it wrong because you're lying in church. All right, here it is. You done something wrong, right? You done something wrong. Hey, anybody learned lessons in life from some things that we've done wrong? Anybody learned those lessons in life? Yes, we all have. But those lessons are not just for us to live our lives. Hear me well when he says that we are to teach them diligently to our children. Those lessons are so that we can pass it down to others so they will not have to make some of the mistakes we made when we were their age. Are you with me in here? Go on, scoot over. Let me sit next to you just for a moment because I need to talk real talk. Because oftentimes, as I'm talking to adults now, parents, grandparents, oftentimes we show our kids the highlighted reels of our lives. We give them all the admirable things that we have done and accomplished, and those are good as they set their aim to be able to be successful in life. But let me also help us all understand something. Our kids can also learn the lessons from our lives when we didn't get it all right. He says, diligently train them. I know this in the text because keep reading with me in the text as you look here, because we have to not only make a personal investment, but understand that parenting is a purposeful endeavor to train. Look at the text. Because Christ said, God says in his word, verse 7, you shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. That every point of our lives ought to communicate a message to those who are coming after us, and that message is to be used to train them in loving God. You know Proverbs, don't you, 22, that says, train up a child in the way that they should go, that when they're old, they will not depart from it. Because kids, if they feel like it or not, teenagers, if you like it or not, in fact, some of our adults in here, if you like it or not, we all need to be trained. All of us. I saw this, Owen. I saw this in my son. My oldest son was 16, so I told you, since he's not here, I could talk about him. So I'm going to do it anyway. And even if he was here, I'll still talk about him, Dr. George. I mean, that's just how the parent I am. Don't look at me like that. Just be glad that I'm not your daddy. Okay, here it is. And so it was, he was 15, he's 15 years old. I won't ever forget this, February 13th, he became 15. This was on last year, and out of his mouth came these words, Daddy, I'm 15 now. I'm a young man. I said, now be careful how you use that word, son. Be careful how you use that word. I'm a young man. He said, Daddy, it's time for me to learn how to drive. I said, okay, all right. But you got to understand the context, because he's asking me this. But I drive a pickup truck. Don't look at me wrong. It's not one of those super duper high rise pickup trucks, because that wouldn't look good coming out with a suit on. You can't see me climbing up in something with a suit on. No, it had to look just right. And I really like my pickup truck. I really do. I try to keep it clean. I count all the scratches. I know which ones were caused by me and which one caused by the kids. And we had that discussion when we get home. And so here it is. He said, Daddy, I want to learn how to drive. I said, son, I said, you're not ready. He said, yes, Daddy, I'm ready to drive. And so there we were. We were in the parking lot of Champion Forest, our Champions campus, in the parking lot, because I wouldn't put a 15-year-old on the street with other drivers. I just love people too much, and I just wouldn't do that. And so you just, and I say, thank you, Pastor, thank you, there it is. So we were in the parking lot, and he said, Daddy, I want to drive. And I looked at him, and I said, all right, son. He sees his daddy in the driver's seat on a regular basis. That's my seat. It's set for me. The mirrors are set for me. Everything about that driver's seat is set for me. Who is it set for? Oh, I'm glad you understand that thing. But he wanted to learn how to drive. So what happens is he gets into the driver's seat. I get into the passenger seat. And it dawned on me that there was no brake pedals where I was. And there was no steering wheel. And that's my own situation. But there he was in the driver's seat for the first time, behind the steering wheel, getting ready to drive this big truck in comparison to his little stature. And then he looks at me with the engine running, Austin. And he says, Daddy, what do I do? I share that with you because we have a younger generation who's in the driver's seat of life, and they're looking to believers, looking to the church, looking in all the mass confusion we have in this world where kids are going awry, parents are going awry. They're looking for an answer. May they find it in the church, so when the question comes, what should I do? We can tell them to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your might, and God will make a way for you. Hear me, we have a responsibility to lead others to love the God who we loved. And so parents, parenting is a purposeful endeavor to train, but thoroughly, brothers and sisters, parenting requires persistent exposure to the truth. Persistent exposure to the truth. Notice the text, remember he says, you ought to teach these things when you rise up, when you're sitting in your house. Look at the persistency in the exposure. Teach these things as you walk along the way. Teach these things as you return back home and you get ready to lie down. Teach these things and let it be on the door of your house and on your gates. Teach these things. Teach what it looks like to love God. Why do we forgive the way we do? Because we love God. Why do we serve the way we do? Because we love God. Why are we on the golf course right now instead of being in the worship service? It's because we love God. Teach them that we love God. No, Proverbs says this way that a man Psalm says this way that a man, the children are a heritage from the Lord, and the man whose quiver is full of children, who is full with them, are arrows that will never bring him dismay, because God is telling us in his word that as we are persistently exposing our children to the truth and transparency of what God has done in our lives, then what we're really doing is we're aiming them at a target that will lead them into exposure of God. But you can't lead someone where you've never been. So as we love God, we lead them every day in every moment, because everything is a teachable situation. I saw it. I know you saw it. Did you see it? Right there in the choir. The choir members were there. They were standing there. They were singing praises. Did you see the little ones right next to them? Did you see how she kept looking up? She was looking up at the choir member who was singing praise, and she was learning praise from what she saw from somebody who was singing praise to God. What am I trying to help you understand? That in every part of our lives, we ought to invite the younger generation in so they might learn from us. Every day of our lives is an opportunity to share with others what it looks like to love God. Not only that, it requires exposure to the truth. It tells us that God is calling us to allow others into our lives that they might learn the truth. That we are not so private with our own lives that we're not willing to share with those who need it. For there's a generation that's coming after us that don't have Christian examples all around them. There's a generation that's coming after us, and we see it in the news. We saw it in Santa Fe as our hearts break for those who have endured such a tragic loss. And we see it, though. There's a generation who's crying out, saying, what are we supposed to do? It's when the believers of the body of Christ are supposed to stand up and say, listen, follow us. We know the way. How do you know the way? Because it's what Jesus told Thomas. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by Jesus. And here's the reality. They need us to tell them how we have joy, how we have peace, how we're able to make it, how we don't walk with our heads down and we always have our heads up full of hope and joy. And it's because of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And they need to know that. And God is calling you. God is calling you to let the younger generation know. I want you to see a testimony from Brother David. Brother David Armigio, I hope I pronounced his last name right, but I want you to see his testimony. I want to share his testimony with you. Why don't you attend to the screen?
I came to serve in kids ministry through kind of a long process. It actually, I had served with missions. I actually led VBS, and I wasn't called to lead kids. And the person that led the group to Kenya actually prayed about it and said that I should lead VBS, and I was terrified. But I did it because I felt that's what was being called, and I really liked it. Last Easter, as I sat in Easter service, I got this nudge, and I really felt like God was saying, I want you to serve in kids ministry. And I don't know where it came from, but I just felt the nudge, and I brushed it off. I said, no, you don't understand. I've got a lot on my plate. We do Reengage. We do the marriage ministry. I work with Hope Haven. I do a lot of things. I work. I have a lot on my plate. I already raised my kids. I don't have any little kids. I don't want to be around little kids. I hesitated for a few weeks, and then I kind of went back to when I went to Africa, because as a middle-aged man coming to serve in Africa, one of the pastors asked me, why would you serve the babysitting ministry? Why would you come halfway around the world to serve in the babysitting ministry? And at that point, I was kind of offended. I was like, what do you mean the babysitting ministry? This is the future of your country. There are more kids in Kenya than there are adults. Why would you consider it the babysitting ministry? But then I realized that's where my heart was. Why do I want to go serve in the babysitting ministry? And at that moment, when I started really thinking about it, God revealed to me, this is what I have in store for you. And I kept saying, I am not equipped to be in kids ministry. I don't know how to teach kids. I know how to teach adults. I don't know how to relate to kids. But I called, and she asked, do you want to serve every other week, or do you want to serve every week? And it would have been very easy for me to say, I'm going to serve every other week. So then I can still do my life group. I can still teach in my life, in my adult life group. But I said, you know what, Mary? God's calling me, so I'm not just going to dip my toe in the water. I'm going in head first. I'm diving in. This wave of, oh my gosh, what have I said? Because she said, what I need is I need a fifth grade boys teacher. And I paused and I thought, no, I'd like to be an assistant the first year. I'm not ready to be a teacher. And she said, that's really where I need you to serve. Can you do it? And I said, Mary, I have three adult daughters, basically, 15, 18, and 22. I don't know anything about boys. But I decided, you know what, if that's where they need me, that's where I'll serve. The week before, when the training came, because I felt like I needed the training, I needed to know how to do this, I had a biking accident, and I landed on my face, had a concussion, had bleeding on my brain, was out of commission for 2 or 3 weeks. So I actually couldn't come to any of the trainings, couldn't come to the makeup training, and I missed the first week. So the first day when I walked in to my class, I was terrified. I didn't know how to do attendance. I didn't know what games I was gonna play. I didn't know what art I was gonna do. I felt like, what am I gonna do? I was walking around kind of like lost. But then this sense of calm came over me and said, all you have to do is talk to fifth grade boys. All you have to do is share the love of Jesus, and I will provide everything you need. And from that day forth, I turned it over to God, and he has provided me with ideas. I think I'm a semi-creative person, but I've never been so creative as I have with what I do with these boys. Every week I go, what am I going to do to keep them entertained? I have to keep them entertained, because the first thing I learned is they don't want to sit for an hour and listen to Mr. David talk. And I think sometimes they're going to hate this craft, or they're going to hate this activity. And those are usually the ones that they love. It's usually the simple things. They don't want a rock star. They don't want a concert. They just want someone that will listen to them, pay attention to them, and teach them. That's all they're looking for. They don't want someone to babysit them. They want someone to engage with them. They want someone to love them and appreciate them for who they are, just the way Jesus does. And that's why I do it week after week.
Why don't you help me thank God for Brother David's testimony? You heard him. He said, I'm not going to just dangle my feet in the water. I'm going all in. I'm diving head first to share the love of God with a younger generation. Hear my heart. God has taken you through so much. He's carried you through so much. And those life lessons you've learned, but how faithful he is, but how forgiving he is, but how strong he is to turn lives around, but how he doesn't give up on us, but rather he pursues us. He pursues us because he loves us. Those lessons are the lessons that God wants you to pass on to the next generation. You may be saying, well, wait, I don't have any experience in kids ministry. I don't have any experience with youth. Yeah, you do. Because you were one. You were once one. You were once one. And some things don't change about the struggles that we endured as young people. But it's our younger people who need to know our story so they too can see the love of God through us. I want to invite you to take that challenge. I want to invite you to commit to serving our younger generation. So if you have your cell phones, would you pull your cell phones out right now? Pull your cell phones out. Let me see. I know you have it. You know, we don't go anywhere without cell phones these days. And I want the young people to see that y'all have cell phones and y'all about to use it in church. I want them to see it. I want to see it. Mark this day that adults are going to use their phones. Because there on the screens, you see it. It's text to serve. Because I'm trusting that God is moving on the hearts of many of you on this day to say, yes, I'm going to take the challenge in my love for God to love the younger generation that I'm willing to serve. I'm going to challenge you right now as you grab your phones that you would text to the following number, 281-843-1396. Get your phones out. It is the time. Get to that texting screen. I want you to get there, and there's an area where you're needed. Preschool, kids, students, they need you. They need you to tell them what God has done through your life so they can have hope for their life. And I want to pray as you make the decision on this Sunday to invest in the lives of another, that you won't let this opportunity pass you by, but you too will go all in.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.